from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guest today was last here about 4 years ago. She had just signed for Sugar Hill Records and was just ahead of the release of a 2016 album called Weightless. Liz Longley is back. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. It's been too long.
It has. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Well, we've crossed paths a little in the interim, but yes. Never here at the station. So
exactly.
I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad we've got a space that is going to provide a position for you to not only play your beautiful guitar, but to play our beautiful piano.
It is such a treat. It's beautiful Steinway. This never happens.
Well, it's going to happen today. A heck of a lot of stuff has happened in your world since we last talked here on the radio.
Yes.
You had just literally signed to Sugar Hill,
yes.
Which ended up as part of Rounder, which ended up as part of Concord Records, and you had yet to even release Weightless, which was a fantastic record.
Thank you.
And we're working on another record.
Yes.
And finished that record and turned it in, and then what happened?
It just, there was no sign of it coming out anytime soon, and it was becoming clear that the best option was to take the music back into my own hands, and so I made this record with this Grammy-nominated producer who I just really looked up to, and his name is Paul Moak, and he had made some of my favorite records out of Nashville and worked with some of my favorite singer-songwriters, so it was such a joy to work with him, and we created something that we were so proud of, and just because of the... I guess the slowness, we were catching the hint that it was better to take it into our own hands. So we were real excited when we had that opportunity. And then we realized, oh, that's going to cost a lot of money. And so I didn't really know any other way around it other than doing a Kickstarter, which I had done in the past, which is actually what made a record that got me a record deal in the first place. It was kind of this like weird full circle thing. It's been incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about with this Kickstarter campaign that was released or launched, I should say, in the fall. Like the end of September, I think, is when you launched that. Obviously, you're not the first artist who has ever finished a record and turned it into a label that is in a state of flux and had things shelved.
Right.
So what happens? Like it just, like you just can't get a callback or, because radio stations had played your previous record.
Yeah.
You know, it had charted, I believe, on the Americana chart. Like it was a great record.
Thank you.
So like what happens to cause the next one to just not be anybody's priority?
I don't know the answer to that. I wish I knew the answer to that. But, you know, when you hand in something that you think is your best work and you don't get the reaction that you think you are going to get, it's as an artist, you know, we're sensitive people. So to have like our heart and soul just kind of like in limbo and no plan, it really like took a toll on me. And, all I can say is that I'm just elated that I'm in the position that I am now where I can release this music and my fans are my label and they have allowed me to not only release this record, but to make vinyl for it and to make a music video for it and to film a live taping of a performance on the album release tour. So it's just 2020 is going to be an incredible year. So.
Yeah. When did you first make the record?
I finished it. Well, I started recording it in December of last year.
The original that you'd turned in?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you gone back to those tapes, which I'm assuming you generated enough money to sort of buy back or take possession of? And then do you go back and rework them? Do you re-record any of them? Or was it as it was?
It's as it was, although we did get it remastered.
Oh.
And that all happened because of the Kickstarter, we were able to print vinyl. You know, that's a pretty costly thing to do. But when we were doing that, we had to master the record for vinyl. And in listening to the vinyl, we were so taken aback by the differences we could hear and thought, you know what, let's just see if Pete Lyman, who mastered it, and he's mastered like Brandi Carlile, Jason Isbell, The High Women, and Chris Stapleton, to put it in perspective.
It's
some of my favorite records. So the difference was astonishing. And so we went back to him and said, would you be willing to remaster the digital version so that when we send this out into the world, most people listen to it digitally and we want to feel that excited about it. So he did that. And that's the only thing that's changed.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the title is the same. Funeral for My Past is what it's called. It is your officially sixth record. Is that right?
Yes, my sixth full length.
Liz Longley is my guest live in the studio today. All right. Are you going to start on guitar or piano today?
I'm going to start on guitar.
All right. What do you want to play for us?
I'm going to play a song called Get to Know Someone.
This is Liz Longley, live at JPR.
You really get
to know someone when they're falling out of love with you? Do they look you in the eye and say, whisper it to someone new? Point the finger, point the blame, I'll hold you till it's all okay. Saying losing love is no one's fault. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. When all infatuation's gone and you tell each other what you want, when all the playing games is done, you really get to know someone. You really get to know someone. It's all in the way they say goodbye to the cushion. Slam the door, I'll kiss you for just one last time. It's all in the way they tell the story. Do they take the heat or take the glory? Hey, losing love is no one's fault. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. When all infatuation's gone and you tell each other what you want, when all the playing games is done,
that is called Get to Know Someone. Liz Longley is my guest live in the studio today. Her brand new record, coming out soon, is called Funeral for My Past. It is her sixth album, funded entirely by fans. All right, it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to hear brand new stuff that nobody's really had a chance to hear yet, so thank you for playing that.
Oh, thank you.
All right, you mentioned earlier that this is not your first foray with Kickstarter. You did this previously, right? I think for the self-titled album?
Exactly.
Like the Liz Longley record, right? This campaign went well.
To put it lightly.
You had a goal of like 45 grand, which was, you know, the cost of retrieving the masters and all that sort of stuff. You hit that in like 3.5 hours.
Exactly, 3.5 hours.
You had some little extras like, well, if we make the goal and we go a little bit beyond, we'll do these things. You made that in 4 hours.
Yes, all the stretch goals were reached. And then we're like, well, that's it, folks.
Has there ever been a time since you started as a musician where you have had a better concept of your following than this Kickstarter campaign?
No, I had no idea. I mean, to have that kind of support, but also the way that they showed up on day one, that was really something. Like, I'm really lucky that I've been able to tour as much as I have and create relationships with fans. And so, you know, I reached out to people and let them know in advance, like, I'm going to need you on launch day. And the reaction just to that alone, before the campaign even begun, I was overwhelmed. I was just so grateful. And it's just been magical. I feel very very lucky to be doing what I'm doing and to feel that connection with them and like what I'm doing is worth something to them.
Yeah. I remember you posted a video, I think to social media, and you were on stage somewhere in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And in the time that you were on stage for the show,
yes,
like it had jumped another quite
like
a number of thousand dollars.
Yeah. While I was on stage.
And it was from people in the crowd?
No, I don't. I think they were all just watching the show and it was just happening because that was launch day. So it was a really big day and it was City Winery in Nashville and I had had a glass of wine and then I opened my phone and I was feeling it. And so we did a video right live from backstage just to let everyone know like, wow, this is just going beyond.
Yeah. Will you share another new one for us?
Absolutely.
All right, what's this?
This is the title track of the record. It's a song called Funeral from My Past.
I held a funeral for my past today, laid it in the ground where it's meant to stay, with the roots, the dirt.
That is called Funeral for My Past. Liz Longley is my guest playing live in the studio today. Music from her brand new record, her sixth, called Funeral for My Past. Information can be found online at lizlongley.com. So what can you tell me thus far about the record? I mean, it's not actually made it into people's hands. It will shortly. Is it mostly guitar stuff, piano stuff, combination of both?
It's a combination. There's most of these songs I wrote on guitar, but there are a few on piano. And I was lucky that in the recording process, most everything was recorded while I was playing the instrument and singing in the band. We were all recording live. So everything feels alive in a sense. And I typically tour just me and my guitar and me and a piano. So it was fun to just sing these songs the way that I perform them every night, but have them enhanced by these musicians that have played on some of my favorite records that have been made and play with my favorite singer-songwriters. So it was half and half.
There have been some pretty good piano songs on your previous records. I'm thinking of Rescue My Heart and Unraveling.
Oh, yeah.
That are piano-based. Outside of this project, which has, of course, probably been a massive focus and time suck for you over the last couple of months, you have also spent time in the last year doing a ton of co-writing with folks. You made mention somewhere that you had done like 80 co-writes.
Yeah. That was 2018.
For what end? Like, what were you trying to do with those? Were you working as a songwriter? Were you trying to craft some songs for yourself? Or what was
the purpose? That's a good question. I think the purpose was to stretch creatively and write for other people. I love writing for other people. I write differently when I'm surrounded by other artists and picking up what they're going through. And it's nice to just get outside of my own writing world. And so I was writing mostly pop stuff for pop artists in Nashville. And it was really beneficial for me as a writer. I was stuck in my own stuff. And so I started writing for other people, and then I'd get home and I felt like I could spread my wings a little bit and stretch and try new things, because I felt really safe writing in the pop stuff in a way that, like, I don't know how to describe that, but I felt like I could do weirder stuff in my own things, like chordally and harmonically and vocally. And so it was this cool way of stretching creatively. And some of those songs are being recorded by the artists that I wrote them with. And it was a great time. I had to take time off the road, though, which was really hard to do.
Are there any liner notes that we should be pouring through to look for credits that you're at liberty to tell us?
Oh, no, nothing.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I was going to say about the pop stuff that you were writing with other folks is that when you are writing songs for yourself, you've got a heck of an instrument to write for. And that might not always be the case when you're writing for other folks.
Well, also, I think it's important to realize that, like, pop music has to be really digestible and simple. And so maybe that's the difference that I was feeling, is like, keep it simple and keep it catchy, and then I can do my own weird stuff in my own music. Different forms, you know, different chords than I would get to do otherwise.
Speaking of weird stuff, I'm glad you mentioned that. Blade and Brunch.
Wow, you really know me.
Tell folks what Blade and Brunch is.
Oh my goodness. So it all started, I was on tour with Sarah Watkins when I had just released my Weightless record, and it was Sarah's birthday, and we were out for a martini or something, I don't remember, dinner on her birthday night, or maybe it was my birthday. It was my birthday. That's what it was. And she bought me a martini, and I got back to the hotel. It was a night off on tour. I guess I was a little tipsy and a little lonely, and I got on Amazon and bought myself a pair of rollerblades, which ended up changing my life. So I got home to Nashville and started rollerblading around my house, and eventually realized I needed friends to do it with. So I started a club in Nashville called Blade and Brunch. So we would go to the park and rollerblade and then go have brunch and have a grand old time.
I want you to know that I was feeling lonely, got on Amazon, bought a pair of rollerblades, and it changed my life is maybe the quote of the year.
I thought you were about to say that you did this too.
Oh,
I want
no.
You to know,
oh, goodness,
I got
no.
No. I got really excited.
No interest, no intention. So how many people participate in this?
Not many.
Is it going up or down?
It's going down.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
No, it's only because I'm never in town. I'm really never in town anymore. And it has to be on a weekend because of people's schedules. But all my friends are also, you know, musicians. Yeah. So it's just been hard. But you know, I think at our peak, we had like 12 bladers. It's the kind of thing that everybody wants to do it, but everybody sleeps in on Sunday morning or goes to church or whatever. So
everybody wants to do it? Are you sure?
There's been a lot of interest. But nobody wants to buy rollerblades. You know, it's a little bit of an investment if you're not sure how you're going to like it.
Well, I can't wait to hear you play a song at our piano. Before I let you go, when you were last here, we were talking about how many of your songs were generally rooted in failed relationships. A lot of songs at the time had been about ex-boyfriends. You have turned that around in a big way. You got engaged.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's not a bad year.
No, it's been an amazing year. And it's funny, the reaction to me getting engaged, I realized how people got worried. Like, well, what are you going to write about? So luckily I started writing about him just in time for the record to when I was making the record. So there's one on there about him.
Perfect.
It's called Torture.
All right. What do you want to wrap up today with?
I'm going to play you a song called Long Distance.
Fantastic. This is Liz Longley live here at JPR.
Can't remember the last time you held me or looked me in the eye. As I learned that Silk Road from Chinatown you like. I'll miss you and I know you're standing right here, but we're two lonesome strangers in the bathroom mirror. It's a long
Well, that is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for playing that. It's a beautiful song. It's called Long Distance. Liz Longley is my guest in the studio today. Her brand new record is called Funeral for My Past. It is her sixth full length. Information can be found online at lizlongley.com. JPR live sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry. Liz, it's so nice to see you again. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a treat on our long drive to California.